Hello, everyone. Welcome to Full Press Hockey Podcast. I'm your host, the voice of Full Press Hockey, Jim Behringer, back alongside Chris Wassel of Full Press NHL as well. You can find this Full Press NHL podcast along with everything from Full Press coverage on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. We're back again. Hopefully, we'll get our Full Press weekly show going again, our hockey show. Some things have just not worked out situations, but hopefully we get it back going again. Always a fun time when the boys are back together. But for now, you can just listen to Chris and I yap about hockey. We may be right, we may be wrong, who knows? But hopefully you're enjoying. Big show tonight, jam-packed, trying to get through it as quickly as possible. Some surprise starts to the NHL season. Only a couple of weeks in. And we're gonna save this topic for another time. We were texting off air and off the podcast and recording about, is it parity? Is it the salary cap? Is it a combination of everything? Is it bad hockey? How's everybody so close? We're gonna save that for another day because that's something that's gonna take up the whole show, and we want to give it enough time. But we're gonna look at some surprising teams, especially New Jersey Devils, Montreal Canadiens, go to the Bruins because, well, Ian's our boss and he's a big Bruins guy. So if, we don't talk about the Bruins, well, he's going to find some way to talk about the Bruins. So we might as well talk about the Bruins. Vegas and why the ugly start in Toronto feels different than it did last year. Right? I mean, it does. It does feel different. But Chris, thank you for joining me again tonight and talking some puck.
Absolutely. It's going to be some fire wagon hockey. We've got I know Jim's got two games on the screen. I've got two. I've got the audio feed for the Minnesota Chicago game somewhere roaming around here, and we are ready to rock.
I mean, once we get off, I'll try to throw like the Optimum app up or something, whatever app's got the Chicago game on the NHL Network. I'll have that going too. So get three games going at once. But let's dive right in. Some surprising starts to the NHL season, a couple of weeks in. Seems like, since the last time we talked, everything's kind of come back to earth a little bit. Teams we didn't expect to continue to be hot are hot. Some teams who started slow kind of rebounded. And one of those teams is the New Jersey Devils. I mean, after an ugly start to the season where Lindy Ruff was going to get fired, I still think, he may not be here next year. And the guy who's kind of running the bench now, Andrew Burnett, is probably going to be the next coach of this Devils team. It's a fair assessment. I have no inside knowledge to that, but it just feels like that's what's going on. Chris is nodding his head yes. So I
We
think
have a
I'm on the right.
transitioning.
Yeah. We have a transitioning going on. But they've, Brandon Smith said it, after the first couple of games, it's like, we're getting closer, we're getting closer. And you know what? Winners of six of their last seven games, they look like they've found their game. Defensively, they look really sharp. Again, the goaltending is always a question mark. But Jesper Bratt, 9-game point streak, 15 points over those 9 games. John Marino, sneaky acquisition, looks so good. Same with Siegenthaler. Who would have thought, two trades like that would be the ones that ever put the Devils like in the position that they are, but they seem to be playing a team game, and the mistakes are just not there.
Now, we're proposing one crazy, like, sort of solution to this that worked. Does anybody find it a little weird that the diminished role of Damon Severson coincides with the fact that this team is playing better?
Nope.
It's weird. It's hard to explain to people because, look, for what it's worth, for the most part, like 80% of the time, Severson is a good defenseman on the ice. The problem is, unfortunately, whoever you pair him with, he makes two or three boneheaded, weird decisions in a game, and usually one once a week winds up costing the Devils a game. Almost like clockwork. And now it seems like that's going on less. The pace of the offense is faster because you have one puck-moving defenseman and one guy that's staying back, more or less. Although, to be fair, Marino and Siegenthaler, for what it's worth, aren't, I wouldn't call them the most mobile defensemen on earth, but they can move the puck. They're
Yeah,
not
but they're
sitting there.
transitioning the puck a lot quicker, especially
Right.
Marino, because that's what he did in Pittsburgh. He was just the odd man out because of the cap, and I just think their depth of their defense, he probably wouldn't have seen top 4 minutes. Not to mention, like, New Jersey, I mean, that's sneaky good. I mean, they were good on the right side, but to have Marino there, it was like when they got PK and they got Dougie Hamilton, you could slot guys now where they're supposed to be. And now Marino's in that second pair, and Hamilton's up on the first pair, and then Severson's down where he should be.
It basically players playing where they're supposed to maximize their talent. We've heard this somewhere before, Jim.
Right.
This is how you win the Jack Adams, right?
Exactly.
We're gonna go there. Wait a minute, isn't that
Mike?
Gerard Gallant's line?
It is. It
Or
is
Mike's
Gerard
line?
Gallant's like, and like
Wait,
our
wait.
buddy Mike Straw said, he's like, Gerard Gallant, you put players in a position to succeed. And
Ooh.
Marino's doing that right now for New Jersey. I mean, he took on Nathan MacKinnon, shut him down. He shut down Johnny Gaudreau against Columbus on Sunday. I mean, that was impressive.
Now for those that are saying, all right, these are two Devils homers. Yeah. What? Okay. Look, I'm as apt to sit there and be like, oh God, this could go south in 2 seconds type of person.
Right.
And it still could. But over the first, especially the last 6 or 7 games in particular, except for that one,
Washington, yeah, they just can't
but
beat
they
that.
still had chances. They
They
still
just
they
can't
just
beat
can't.
them.
It's just certain teams, you just go, ah, damn it. But all joking aside, there is something with this team that if they get, and it's not even, look, for everybody saying, oh, it's gold, they just need league average goaltending, league average goaltending. No, they just need a goalie that makes the timely save when it's needed. That's it.
Exactly.
I mean, look, Colorado rode a, what, 898 to 902 Darcy Kuemper through the playoffs last year, and it worked.
Yeah, because he made when he needed to make saves,
He made the saves.
he made the save. Now, granted, Tampa didn't throw
Tampa was dead tired. I mean,
that
they were
Tampa
out of
was dead tired,
gas.
but on the games they threw pucks at him, they won games.
And that's how you kind of have to look at it here. Now, look, what was done today was a pure demolition. I mean, they worked, and that's the thing. That's the thing the Devils have to do. They have to work, and work. And at maybe at 3-1, 4-1, I'm like, well, maybe they're letting up a little. Wrong.
No.
Nope. I mean, look, this was a team that was an eighth of a millimeter from putting up a snowman today.
Yeah,
In
seriously.
a game where they could have easily let down. Let's be honest. This was a game that 2 years ago, last year, New Jersey probably would have lost after winning such a big game as they did Friday night.
Absolutely. 100%. You got to back that win up. We always, what do we? Well, we're two tennis guys, so we know. Like you pull the upset the one round, usually it says you have a letdown the next match. And this
Consolidate
team,
that, baby.
and to me, I think I put it out there. A loss like Washington last year before, snowballs into 3 or 4 losses after a three game winning streak. The fact is, you lose, you will go on another 3 game winning streak. That's huge. You put the losses aside and you start to get the wins again instead of win three, lose three, win three. No, you lost one, you go on three. Now, it's a test going to Western Canada. Flames, Oilers, cannot, I mean, that's a tough trip. I mean, that's going to be a tough trip. But like you said, to me, early in the season when they weren't capitalizing on all these shots on goal and all this stuff, maybe they lose that game because, oh, it's only 1-0. It's only one, it's 2-0, and the team is in within striking distance, and bang, 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 the puck's in the net, and now you're down. But they continue to work hard, and that's what they're going to have to do. They're just going to have to continue, play fast attacking transition hockey. I mean, Barzal said it. I think Makar said it. There's a bunch of other players the Devils have played against that have said their speed is something that they've never seen.
And the key is that that's not just one line or two lines. That's three, even arguably four lines,
Yeah.
where it's just attacking hockey, and it's fun to watch. I mean, we have that for a surprise start, and then we just get in our car, drive down the turnpike,
Mike.
and go, Who's that other team that's right next to us in the Metropolitan Division?
Was that
Huh?
Philly?
What's that?
Philly. I mean, did anybody really expect the Flyers to be off to this great of a start? I mean, granted, Carter Hart's got to make like 50 saves a night for what they're doing.
He's doing it.
But he's doing it. I mean, the Flyers will not get outworked. They will not get outworked.
No.
John Tortorella will never allow that to happen. But it's a surprising start. I don't think anybody had the Devils and Philadelphia 1-2 in the Metro Division this year to begin the season.
No, and to be fair, I mean, you know, okay, Carolina's right there, so okay, yeah, we'll you know, we'll be nice and mention Carolina only because we obligatorily have to here.
I mean, because they're always there, so
they're always there, and you know, they're the favorites to win, yada yada yada. But yeah, I mean, Philly's been fun, and they've ruined my night a few times with certain bets and stuff because, you know, but the Carter Hart save part is, you know, save prop has been pretty automatic so far.
And their backup's been playing well, though, too.
That's, look, Felix Sandstrom, for what it's worth, has been, you know, has paid his dues in the AHL. And yeah, it's cliche, but you know what? He's at least serviceable, which is something. Now, let's face it, the Philly the last few years has not had for a backup goaltender.
No.
With all due respect to Martin Jones and a 364-year-old Brian Elliott.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
no disrespect to those guys.
I mean, look, if you look at Philly's numbers, obviously Carter Hart is 4-0-1 in his last five starts. Yeah, okay, he's given up 12 goals. I get that. But again, you know, we alluded to this. Here's the funny part, though. You know, everybody will point out, all right, he faced 35 plus shots, three games. Okay. A couple of those games weren't that bad from a defensive standpoint for Philly. I mean, were they cratered at times? Yes, absolutely. But a lot of the chances, especially in the Vancouver game and the Nashville game in particular, were not of the dangerous variety. So he got a little bit of a breather before he played Florida and Carolina, which is just like, Jesus, come on, really? So
yeah, but they stood tall in the Florida game, and you know they lost in overtime against Carolina.
Now here's what I think as November comes into focus, big test for them Tuesday,
Rangers.
That's huge for them because look, obviously the Rangers and particularly, you know, Mika Zibanejad, who his playground is the Philadelphia Flyers defense, for some rather legendary exploits in games the past few seasons,
especially at home.
Especially, and of course, where's Tuesday's game?
At home.
Hey, of course.
The only caveat I will say is I know it's only two games, but those West Coast trips, you come home after a long West Coast trip. The team usually, there's a little bit of a letdown, a little bit. Not going to say there's going to be much because I think the Rangers are a superior team to Philly, but I think it'll be a lot closer than a lot of people think it'll be.
Yeah, it's going to be it's a game that I definitely want to see what happens.
Yeah, for sure, no doubt.
You want to see how these two teams play against each other. You want to see if this Ivan Provorov comeback of sorts is, you know,
legit.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like it is. You know, he looks like the player he was three seasons ago. Well, two, three seasons ago.
Yeah, it's it.
Before you know, COVID like kind of wrecked a lot of players.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's be honest. We really don't know, like, from a physical and mental standpoint, what COVID did to certain players because not everybody disclosed either they had COVID or dealt with people who had COVID.
Exactly.
So, you know, we can't sit there and say, oh, well, yeah, he's just dogging it or what. We don't know.
We don't really know. So, I mean, and guys coming back from injuries, you don't know how long it took recovery process. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, the Sharks are a bad hockey team, but they've got some wins lately. But, I mean, Eric Karlsson's looking offensively like the guy that won the Norris Trophy. Defensively, you know, he's not that guy anymore. But, I mean, he's a different kind of player now. But it's nice to see him to have a resurgence.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's almost as beautiful as, wow, what is that on my MSG screen right now? Oh, well, that looks pretty. But all kidding aside, again, you know, we have quite a few surprises. We have, you know, We'll get to the reverse surprises in a bit, because obviously there's a few of those, the ones that, yikes. But Montreal's fun. I don't care.
Fun to watch.
I do not care how many goals they give up. I do not care the chances they give up. I know their second and third lines are absolutely horrendous defensively. I get that. I don't.
But they're fun to watch.
I mean, look, Jim, Cole Caulfield has 29 goals in his last 46 games now under
Martin Saint-Louis. Woof. I feel like it's more than that. I feel like it's like
you feel 30. Like it's like 35 or something.
Yeah,
crazy.
Something like that. I feel, but it's like 29 and 46 games under. But think about it. Martin Saint-Louis told the guys, just go out and have fun. We're going to bring excitement to practice. Yep. He's going to have fun. There's not expectations on this club. Just go out. He's letting those guys be them guys. And even you see Kirby Doc's taking a step this year, playing with Suzuki and Caulfield. And Nick Suzuki's just unbelievable. You know, that penalty shot, that Datsuk move. I mean, that's a thing of beauty. But Caulfield, man, all this guy's doing is score. Imagine if they just let him go last year. Just let him shoot the puck.
Yeah. Imagine if they started out that way.
Right, exactly. Instead of making the change. But they did. And now Caulfield's one of the best players in the league this year. And not to mention, you know, a guy named, I don't know, that first overall pick now that he's got his first goal of the year is just ripping goals like he did against St. Louis. Two and two
that
games
shot.
Now. That's ridiculous, man. That shot is just electric.
People don't realize the power that Sierkowski gets on a shot like that. Now, yeah, is he like a little bit over? We don't want to say the W word here, but maybe. But you know what? That strength is uncanny. And that shot, the torque that he gets on that shot, for those that don't know, we'll use the old school reference of Alex Kovalev's super T110 stick that literally got so much torque that I think it bent all the way from New York into New Jersey.
Oh, that's, man, Alex Kovalev's shot
was
ridiculous.
But it's that close. I mean,
it is
that,
really that close.
Shot is lethal. And you look at that, and that's a shot like a Stamkos shot.
It really is
from a guy with even more power.
Guys are built like a truck.
You're not moving him off the puck.
No, you're not.
If he's determined to keep his, it's not happening. I mean, I know this is amusing, but for those that enjoy this, John Madden said this once. He was transitioning from player to coach in the league. There are certain guys in this league that no matter what you do and what underhanded techniques you use, you're not going to move them off the puck if they're that motivated. And this kid is one of them.
Look, I mean, there's a reason why Montreal took him number one. They love the way he fits in. I mean, as Martin Saint-Louis said after their game against St. Louis, that was his best game in the National Hockey League. I couldn't agree with that more. I mean, that he looks so comfortable. He's getting adjusted to the game now. He understands what he has to do, and I think stuff is going to come. And the fact that I think he's got his first goal now, I think the pressure's off now. He can just go out and play his game and not worry about, okay, when am I going to score my first NHL goal? It's come. Now he had the injury for a little bit. He was back in the lineup, and then he scores again. I mean, like you said, they're not going to move him off the puck. Even other guys are starting to, you know, Josh Anderson's going to, you know, starting to score goals. You know, Christian Dvorak scored. I mean, you know, they're starting to get contributions from everywhere. Jake Allen, Samuel Montembeau, they're playing well for who they are and what they have to do. And if it wasn't for Montembeau the other night, I don't think Montreal wins. I mean,
Montembeau's having
been
his
a great
little
pickup.
Run. He's having his little run. That's all you can ask for. And for people that are streaming fantasy hockey, you might want to hold on to him for another couple of weeks, because the way this schedule sets up, at least for November and maybe even a little bit into December, look, Montreal's going to give up a lot of shots. You want a goalie that's going to get you saves at least. It's worth a shot. I mean, look, most waiver wires are pretty much like devoid of any starting caliber goaltender.
Yeah, you're not gonna
unless
get
you got anything. Unless you got really freaking lucky and got a waiver wire request in for Stuart Skinner when you needed to. I mean, other than that, I mean, you're kind of like
they're the slim pickings.
You know, maybe you get a Magnus Hellberg, you get a little bit lucky there, but even he's not a starter. He's a 1B at best. You know,
yeah, but now with Talbot back.
Talbot ain't going to last. All right, let's just call it for what it is.
Call it for what it is. He ain't going
to
last.
He ain't going to last. But all right, to the obligatory we kiss up to our boss part of the show.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, all right, look, bluntly, Boston is a surprise. And there was a big surprise last week when magically the player, if you stashed him on your IR for the first few weeks in fantasy, Brad Marchand, you thought maybe, oh, he's not going to come back till Thanksgiving. And no, he's going to come back before Halloween. Now, granted, he is on a what you would call a maintenance schedule.
But that's okay.
But he's back.
And he just had 3 points.
And he just had 3 points in his first game back. That's all.
But the Bruins are rolling. Like, even without him in the lineup, they were rolling without him in the lineup. Now, granted, Krejci got hurt, but still, this team, all they had to do was survive without these guys. And now Grizzly's back.
Yeah.
Marchand's back. They're waiting for McAvoy to come back.
McAvoy will be back soon enough.
Right. They're just rolling. Bergeron. Pasternak's just, he's just like, give me the money come the summer because you're going to have to pay me. They're scoring goals. Krejci and Pasternak, when they play together, great. Bergeron doing his thing. Jake DeBrusque. I mean, up and down this lineup, they're getting contributions. They're playing good defensively. Good for Jim Montgomery to get back in the league and deal with his problems. And he was a good coach in Dallas. There was no doubt about it that he was good. We saw it. And now, everybody, we all still question the move. But both coaches and both teams are succeeding. So, you know what? Something is right there in the waters for both Vegas and Boston. And it's good working for both coaches for doing well. I mean, Linus Olmark's taken over as the number one, as he should have, because of what he was getting paid to take over to Tukarask. Swayman's there to do his job as a backup. And the Bruins just look, and especially when he comes in on back-to-back, even without Marchand, they just came in and won. I mean, this team doesn't miss a beat. We always talk about, when are certain teams going to take a step back? We expected maybe the Bruins, but if they survived everything, knew they were going to be there. If they were in striking distance and everybody came back, they were going to make the run. Same with, I'm still not confident Washington makes the playoffs in the Metro. Pittsburgh,
it's rough because now Pittsburgh's having kind of the problems we thought Washington would.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit weird. It's like, well, the Pittsburgh in the first few games were like, well, maybe this is going to work.
Mm.
Now it's like, well, maybe this is going to be more of a roller coaster ride like we were kind of expecting with both teams. So one team's going to be up, the other team's going to be down. Sometimes both teams are going to be down. Sometimes they'll be up. I mean, we really don't know because, look, this is, again, we have to reiterate this often. First October in 3 years that we are playing a quote-unquote normalized schedule that is now not really normal because you took so much of the division aspect out of everything.
Right.
You have teams that they play each other twice and then they don't play till like March.
Right. So you don't know.
I mean, look at Calgary and Edmonton. They played twice in October and then they don't play until so
you really don't know what these teams are. They both split their games, but you don't know what they really are.
Little Vinny from Brooklyn used to say, we don't know what we got.
We don't know what we got, but we do know what we got in the Bruins right now, and they're playing really good hockey. The power play's clicking, penalty kill looks good, rolling four lines, they look good. And if Marchand even on a maintenance schedule, I mean, so what, he didn't play, but he's not going to play back-to-backs. Okay, big deal. Just plug and play somebody in and they'll be fine.
How about this for a huge benefit too? I mean, obviously the amount of wins early is great, but they're banking points.
Yeah, they're banking
whereas other teams are not. I mean, look, we can presume that barring something crazy, Toronto's going to win tonight and get their fifth win.
Yeah.
Right. Hopefully, maybe.
So
you figure Florida won today. So they're up to 13 points. Boston has 16 already.
Did you think that was going to happen?
No, No,
let's be realistic.
No, there's no way. All right, so first nine games to say Boston would be 8-1 is ludicrous. To say they would have been say maybe 5-4.
I would have taken 5-4. That's where I thought they were going to be.
Because like I said to somebody, I was like, all right, here's the thing. Here's the list of teams they beat. And yeah, I know some of them are not that impressive on the surface. But considering they came out game one and throttled Washington in Washington. Okay. All right. Arizona. All right. Eh. We know. Okay. Let's do this real quick. Florida.
Good team.
You know, they did play a bit of a hectic stretch, Florida, but then came up to Boston. Still,
you still beat them.
Their one loss was extremely entertaining as heck. I mean, it was beer night in Ottawa, to be fair. So maybe they were drinking.
That was a good game though, but that was a back to back.
That was a back to back. But you have to remember something, and this is something that the Boston Bruins have been exceedingly good at over the last 3 years. The back end of back to back games, Boston has like a 650 winning percentage. I mean, it's insane. They play so good, even in 3s and 4s as well. You know, it's something to look at. Obviously,
Veteran team, man.
They clunked it a bit against Anaheim. They had an extremely entertaining game with Minnesota, beat Dallas, throttled Detroit, handled business against Columbus. Here's your big week. Here we go. Pittsburgh, Rangers, Saturday night, hockey night in Canada.
Toronto or Montreal?
Toronto.
Oh, yeah. Big week for them.
That's huge. By the way, we can do this here. 1-0 Rangers, by the way. That might get reviewed, though.
Yeah. Ooh, keep us posted on that.
That might get reviewed. Let's see. Was that a stick? Yeah. Nope, that's a goal. Wow. Nice job. Give Lafreniere points for that one.
All right. Lafreniere on the board for the Rangers.
Yeah, that was close. I mean, like I said, Boston will get tested.
Boston's going to get tested. Yeah, I mean, every team gets tested. I mean, you know, New Jersey's going to get tested when they go to Western Canada. Boston's going to have their stretch. The Rangers are getting tested again. That's more of an effort thing to me. I think, you know, they'll be fine. Speaking of effort, this is where we're going to transition from the good to the not so good. Toronto. Okay. Granted, it's the same record as last year through the same amount of games, but it feels different this year than it did last year, because maybe the effort that they're putting into these games is not there. It's playoff problems magnified early on, because they talk about, yeah, we're learning this and learning that. If I'm a team and I compare it to the Spurs after they lost to Miami Heat, the next year they just came out and steamrolled everybody. Yeah. If I was Toronto, I've been looking at the film on how I lost to Montreal, how I lost last year. I get mad and just make sure I come out like gangbusters. You're going to lose games. But you want to send a message to say, hey, we understand. You know, you just can't keep talking about it. Yeah, there was getting respect in the hand line. That's garbage. Go out and win and show that you've learned. Because right now, they're just relying on their talent and they're getting outworked in every game.
To make the quick, simple analogy, while the panic level should not be at a 15 yet, the panic bells have hit, especially when you see in warmups that William Nylander is on the third line as a center.
Yeah.
That's how you know, maybe this is a little bit different. And look, this is a team right now. I mean, even last year was strange because of the teams they lost to. I understand that. This year, it looks very much the same on the surface.
Arizona.
You lost to Arizona. You lost to Montreal. You lost to San Jose.
And the effort just was not there.
The effort was not there.
Slow start again. Bad start against Vegas.
The three phases don't work together, Jim.
No, they don't.
And that was something that happened a little bit last year. But not like this.
And it's not coaching. It's not Sheldon Keefe, because Sheldon Keefe is good for this team. But the problem is when you have Barry Trotz coming out and saying, I would like to coach an original six team, everybody point. And look, I love Barry Trotz. I don't know if he would be the answer for this Leafs team. He would get him playing defensive hockey.
But then that's a problem too, because the Leafs actually are playing defensive hockey for the most part this year. It is their offense that is not converting chances.
No, they're not. They're getting the chances. I mean, Matthews got his second goal of the season tonight on a power play. I mean, he was wide open in the slot. I mean, if he doesn't score from the hash marks, there's problems.
He had all day.
Oh, I mean, he really did. I mean, it's not like he's not getting looks and stuff. I mean, they're getting looks, but David Kampf can't be leading the team in scoring. Like,
no.
You got to put Nick Robertson in a position to succeed, and maybe that's why they dropped William Nylander down to play with him, because you know that might be an issue. That might be the reason why they did that. You know, just get him going. Because you get the two skilled players playing together, because Robertson had a reason to play. Their goal, the place that everybody pointed to at the beginning of the year, goaltending, has actually been good.
Yeah, not that bad. I mean, Ilya Samsonov has taken over, and he's playing like kind of like the Ilya Samsonov we thought would in Washington before all the, again, go figure,
craziness,
all the COVID problems started. And,
but then all the craziness marks after the year, like they're like, oh, we're just going to get rid of everybody.
It's true. That is absolutely 100% true. And, with Toronto, is there an easy solution? No. But at the same time, there are solutions. And it's going to be something that they have to work through and have to, again, that damn W word, work.
Work. They have to work.
They have to keep playing. I mean, you have these four guys that are making what? A little over $40 million?
Yeah.
They got to produce.
Right. And if they don't produce, something major has to happen in the offseason. You just can't run it back again. You just can't run it back anymore.
Yeah. This thing has to change. This is your last chance and last dance, basically. Speaking of uglier, oh boy, we saw that today in full display. If you went to Newark,
oh, Columbus, not good.
I said this from the beginning. This was a bad move, not by itself. When Yarmo signed, obviously Johnny Gaudreau, and then re-signed Patrick Laine. The one move by itself and the other move by itself, not bad. The two moves together combined with what got shipped out, i.e. Oliver Bjorkstrand.
I called that, by the way.
And the way it was done, people forget, Bjorkstrand, oh, I don't know, something about getting hitched and getting traded.
Yeah.
Leaves a sour taste in a team's palate going, well, if that guy was moved – one of the most tender it goes outside the game of hockey in a sense.
Yeah, exactly.
And it resonates.
And then you got Merzlikins dealing.
And this team is not mentally right. Oh my God.
Merzlikins is dealing with his own personal problems, with people, death threats to his family. Like, come on.
All right. Look, what happened with Columbus as it was tragic.
Right.
This is just compounding on a level that it's beyond disgusting.
It really is. It really is disgusting.
I don't care how bad the team is playing, how goalie player X or whoever is performing. There are lines that you do not cross as a fan. And
that's one of them.
And multiple lines were crossed by fans. It wasn't just one. I mean, come on, people. At least try to be better. Look, Columbus is going through a rough enough time right now. Their coach, if it was under any other circumstance, would be one on the hottest seat of magma right now because of the decision making. But do not put this on one player in particular.
No,
when it is a whole team problem.
No, it's a whole team problem. It's a big
wife to come out, and I mean, you could see the tears on her face practically as she's probably tweeting this out. You're looking at your husband. He's going through all the things that he's gone through in the last 18 months.
Come on, people.
All I ask if you're a fan of this team, man, if you're on Twitter, something, you know, you don't have to give the guy a hug, you know, but hey, you know what? Give him a nod of support.
Yeah, just support him.
It doesn't sound like much. It doesn't, you know, but it means something.
Yeah, go support him. Do the right thing. Don't be taking shots at the goaltender, at his wife, at his fan. Don't do any of that. That's bad, being a bad fan. That's our public service announcement for tonight. Don't be a bad fan. Don't cross lines. But time's winding down.
It's time for our version of the 150.
150. We're doing this real quick. Bad situation. Anaheim, not a good team. I would not be surprised if John Gibson decides that he wants out and out quickly to a contending team.
Yeah. How much damage has been done to John Gibson over the last couple of years by him remaining a Duck is a great question.
Exactly. So that's a situation to see. They brought it up on Hockey Night in Canada. Shane Wright needs to go to junior. It does him no service playing 6 minutes a night. I don't care if they're going to raise it to 10. That's not what the fourth overall pick. If you don't think he's ready to play in the National Hockey League, send him to junior. Let him go dominate because he lost time in junior with all the COVID. Let him go play and just let him develop.
Something's extremely off in Seattle.
Big
time. End quote.
End quote. We'll let Mike do the rest of that for that. But this has been the Full Press Hockey NHL podcast. I've been your host, Jim Berenger. Chris Wassel's been here joining me, as we always do, rocking and rolling. Find this podcast along with all the other podcasts, Spotify, iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts. I hope everybody enjoys it. Talk to you again real soon. Take it easy, everybody.
We're out.